Yeah, don't get us wrong. There's still going to be plenty of randomness to the show.
Of course. That's the name of the show. The other name is Off Topic.
But this is football.
What you want? We've got a mob to call to listen, but it makes your rage glisten. Our voice is about the games. And you know we talk about the latest goings, more so than any other, and all Mountain West matters. Well, will you listen to this podcast too, and you rant about this podcast too. Just a side where Jeremy analyzes some matches and kiss between the bridges. We do some good interviews. And you know from Fresno all the way to Boise, from Logan down to Aston, they're calling out our name. Where will you listen to this podcast too? You love this podcast too.
All right, welcome back to the latest Mountain West Connection show. Check us out, MWCConnection.com, MWCConnection on Twitter, Facebook, Mountain West Connection. Another recap, week 5's in the books. Crazy week 5. Jeremy Moss here, as always. I'm not with the other Chris, or the other Chris, with Matt Kennerly this evening.
Yeah, one of the many.
One of the many Matts we have writing, so we got quite a few, so that's why I got to go last name, initial, school allegiance, all that type of stuff to know who we're talking to.
Works for me.
So, hey, your Fresno State team won. Should we just get right into it?
And they beat an okay team. It actually kind of means something for once.
It's a win. It's a conference win. They could still win the West. That's still a possibility.
It is.
No. Before we get to the games, I was told maybe we should try to be more positive because some people aren't liking our negativity since the league isn't doing very well this year. So let's try to make everything positive. Does that work for you?
Well, yeah. I mean, because you and Chris spent like 5 minutes dumping on Fresno State last week. So.
Well, it was kind of deserving a little bit. Trying to stay as positive as possible. Pick a quarterback. That's all we wanted them to do.
Well, they picked one, and it worked out pretty well. Brian Burrell came out, had a little bit of a slow start again, but finished with over 300 yards and 3 touchdowns.
So is he officially the guy?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure at this point that he's going to be the guy going forward.
It made sense. Because me and Chris are like, Connett's not playing next year. You're week 5, and you don't know who your starting quarterback is.
Yeah, I think the Connett's injury was kind of unfortunate because, you know, he would have had a better shot at claiming the starting job if he had been able to stay healthy and play last week against Southern Utah. But I think Burrell showed enough, you know, to take care of the football and, you know, be efficient, move the chains, you know, keep the tempo, keep the pressure on the opposing defense. And, you know, you saw that he was able to offer a lot of the same stuff that we thought Connett was going to offer. Not only was he able to throw the ball, he was able to run the ball a little bit, too. He had almost 100 yards on the ground.
Yeah, I'm glad they found the guy because we know, I think it's safe to say, we knew the team was not going to be as good as last year, but you think they could have figured this out months ago. That's the only concern we had. Like, you had all spring, I guess not Connett, but it just, getting him. They did well. They ran the ball, like you said. They had plenty of good rushing yards. Burrell can run the ball reasonably well, 63 yards. So it's not like they need Connett to do that. So they got a QB. They beat, it's New Mexico. But were you afraid at any point? Because this game was pretty close until the fourth quarter.
I mean, it was hard to not feel uneasy when they got off to yet another slow start. They're still getting outscored, I think, like 55-2 in the first quarters of games so far this year. So when you're looking at the New Mexico offense literally going straight down the field, you know, dive play after dive play after dive play and getting 6 or 7 yards at a time, and you know the offense being slow to respond to all that, it was a little worrisome. But you know, give the defense credit because they made the adjustments they need to at halftime and really put the clamps down on New Mexico.
Yeah, New Mexico. They're also a quarterback situation's been up in the air, but it because I was watching the game, like I was in and out watching a bit. I knew Gauchy was may or may not play. He's him and Lamar Jordan or Clayton Mitchum were listed as the co-starters. It's like, oh, Mitchum's going to start. Okay, whatever. Lamar Jordan, he has to be the guy for New Mexico. Even though Gauchy's had so... I could just replay many shows what me and Chris did about Gauchy. He moves the offense very well. He has... trying to stay positive here, folks. He has difficulty throwing the ball. That's about as positive I could be with Cole Gauchy. He can run the ball well. Whatever he does, he's a great option quarterback, but he can't... He just doesn't have the ability to throw as well. Lamar Jordan can do both, and he replaced Mitchum, and he has to be the guy because like they looked good versus Fresno for most of the game. He went back and forth. They had a lead. He has to be their guy. He can throw. It's a combination which Bob Davey needs, and I'm hoping that he's not going to mess around the QB situation like Tim Drudder. Hopefully, it seems like he's settled in. Go with Jordan. Caruso Gongbe had 6 yards of carry. Yeah, 69 yarder, but still.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Just because, you know, you saw that he completed 4 of 7 passes, but, you know, when they needed points near the end, you could see that he got sacked a couple times on that last drive, and that really kind of did New Mexico in. But, you know, he's a redshirt freshman, so he's going to grow into the role, assuming that Davey goes with him going forward.
Hopefully. Because Gauchy's a junior, Mitchum's a senior. So, and there's no injury or anything. It has to be. He's not going to throw a ton, but the only other, I'll try to be positive here. Well, this game, I was in and out. Did Carlos Wiggins not play in this game, it looks like?
I don't believe so, no.
Because no punt returns. I know he had some sort of injury a while back. I guess not. My only other...
Showing his name in the player participation, but that's it.
Okay, maybe he dressed. Is that what that means, maybe?
Yeah, I don't know exactly what that means.
I just look for... I scroll by receiving. Oh, let's pass on that because there's only 4 guys. Kick, return, punt, or nothing. But with him, he needs to get the ball a lot more. Like this game, I don't know if he'd have made a difference in this game for New Mexico or not because it was an 11-point game. Who knows if he would have broke off a punt or some sort of deep pass. But he's a guy, it's kind of a shame he's on this team. Not because of what New Mexico is of... how they haven't been very good, but what he can do for a team. Like, well,
sure, he hasn't been hurt or something like that.
Well, he has been the past couple weeks. He's been in and out, but even when he's healthy, he's not. They don't throw the ball. He's a wide receiver on this type of offense.
Yeah, I mean, that's really unfortunate because, you know, we still don't know just how strong Fresno State's special teams would have been. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if New Mexico gets a stop, let's say, early in the first half, and you know they kick away to Wiggins, and he returns it for 6. That might have changed the whole complex of the game, but of course we'll never know. We might see it sometime later this year if he's able to get healthy.
We might, but I just think like I don't know. I think I mentioned this with Chris Hodges before, but you probably don't remember this guy Chad Hall from Air Force.
Oh, I remember him.
Got shot. Like that's what Wiggins needs to be with his offense. Do the jet sweeps, end around, put him in motion to be a third running back, throw a quick screen to him, let him make plays. That's what he needs to be. Because Chad, I probably should look it up. I think Chad Hall was that one year, may have been Mountain West Offensive Player of the Year.
Yeah, I think you're right.
And he was just touch the ball. Any way they give him the ball, he would kick return, punt return. He'd probably get 20 touches a game out of all 4 aspects. Kick, punt return, receiving, and running the ball. That's what they need to do. And I'm surprised with the offensive coordinator there, Bob DeBose? The guy from San Houston State before he was up there. Was it Bob DeBose? Is that his name?
I'm not sure.
I should know names. That's what I'm complaining about. Know your name. Like, sorry, I don't know everybody's name. But he needs, you think what they, if you've ever seen San Houston State, they'll run the option. They run this type of offense. You would think he'd be creative enough for what they did down there. And when they went to the FCS playoffs, I think a national title game against North Dakota State with Craig Bull there a while back. But they got to do something to give him the ball because New Mexico, they're much improved, but they're still.
Well, to be fair to the Lobos, they had 2 running backs who averaged 5 yards carry yesterday.
True.
Or on Friday, excuse me. You know, Caruso Gongbe had 163 yards and Jarrell Presley had another 70. And, you know, between the two of them, that's not bad, you know?
And no, it is. I just want – he wasn't healthy, but I just want Wiggins to get the ball more. He just – what he can do with the ball, it's like you think you give as many touches as possible. Or yeah, that's just my opinion. But so with your – this is Fresno team here. They're 1-0 in Mountain West play, I should specify.
Yes.
What do you – did you see enough in this game to think this is a team that's actually improved? Or, like – because they're obviously overmatched, USC, Utah, Nebraska – there's overmatch that in those games. Are they improving, or are they still maybe the same team and just improved enough to beat a New Mexico who's still at the bottom of this conference?
You know, I think we actually learned a lot about how resilient this team is because of the fact that they got down early and they were forced to make adjustments to come from behind and beat a team that could have very easily run the ball right down their throat for another 30 minutes. So, you know, give them credit for figuring out how to attack this New Mexico team, you know, and for relying on the rushing attack more often than they have in the past. You know, they actually had a pretty balanced attack. They had 45 runs, 42 passes, and they ran for almost as many yards as the Lobos did. It was 285 to 272.
And Josh Harper the ball a lot, which is something good. Aaron Peck as well. That's what they kind of need to get going as well, I think.
So I think they're finding their identity. They're not going to be as pass happy as they were a year ago. But if they can maintain that kind of balance, I think that they can still make a lot of noise. And I still think they can win the division like I said that they would.
Do you think they will? Do you still think that's a realistic goal?
I feel a lot more confident in that than I did a week ago. Because I think New Mexico, you know, they're not all the way there. But you could see the glimpses of the team that they could be.
True. They are getting much better. They are improving step by step. They just need to get a few more wins, I think.
Yeah, I mean, they're the type of team that can sneak up on teams.
Yeah, because they almost beat Boise 2 years ago. They came back from a huge deficit, or maybe it's 3 years ago. The first year Boise's in the league nearly came back with, I think Gauci was a true freshman, came in and just started running over that defense and made it a scare of the Broncos pretty bad. So, real quick then, they have the big game San Diego State Friday night. Who is playing there? Quinn Kaler is out. What was it? Just real quick on that, is that something where it'd make a difference when they're starting their...
Oh, I think it'll make a huge difference, especially considering that they were already missing Azel Ruffin. You know, I think if they can key on stopping the run, stopping Donnell Pumphrey, then, you know, Bulldog Stadium, they didn't sell out versus Southern Utah. But, you know, I think having a winning streak behind them is going to bring the crowd out. And I think, you know, this guy who's starting, making his first career start, is going to have a challenge ahead of him.
Yeah, makes sense. We'll get to that as the game. It's just funny reading online, like, this guy will be better than Quinn Kaler. Bowden, that's what it is. Look up the name here. It's Nick Bowden. I guess he was a Fresno recruit at one point, going to go there, but did not. But they're like, it's like, oh, he'll be fine. They'll open the playbook. I'm like, no. No.
That's how it usually works.
No, actually the opposite. He might be able to do more things. Like, I guess we'll discuss later, but real quick, he's more mobile and has a bigger arm. Okay, that means they may, let's exchange a play action or rollout or bootleg compared to this. They're not going to have anything. The playbook's going to be shrunk less, but might be different plays.
Yeah, exactly.
We'll get into that later, but I just find that hilarious. Like, God, freshman, he'll be better than a senior who started years and years. Oh, fans are great, right?
Oh, yeah, we're all great.
Yes. All right, so next game, let's move on here. Let's go to, we spent a lot of time on that game, but that's fine. It was the only Friday night game for the Mountain West and probably the best game because that, I don't know what happened in that Conference USA game, but it wasn't our game. So, Wyoming, Michigan State. Oh, boy.
It was a tough break.
It was 56-14. Wyoming lost to Michigan State. Not surprised by the outcome. Not surprised at the first half outcome being down 42-14. I was kind of hoping for maybe an Oregon game. Maybe they'll be within two touchdowns, and then Michigan State pulls away. No, Michigan State did what they wanted. They ran the ball pretty much at will. Wyoming couldn't hold on to the ball. And when you're minus three turnover and you're playing a top 10 team on the road, that adds up, right?
Yeah, I was going to say that was the big difference between this game and the Oregon game is that they were minus three in the turnover column. Because when you look at the other numbers besides the turnovers, they did okay. They did about what you might expect against a defense like the Spartans. You know, Kirk Gerd was 16 of 24. You know, he didn't make any big plays, but he...
Two-thirds of his passes complete. That's not bad.
He wasn't totally careless. And, you know, Sean Wick and DJ May had over 125 yards between the two of them.
It's the sacks that killed him.
You know, they got big plays in the first half. They just weren't really able to capitalize on those big plays. You know, they got the 57-yard touchdown from Wick, and they got a 40-yard catch from Tanner Gentry, and another 52-yard catch from Jalen Claiborne. They just couldn't really do anything with them, and that might have been the difference right there.
Yeah, that's a big deal. Yeah, you got to be able to make the plays and then convert those big plays. So, yeah, you're right. Nothing, like, the numbers would be nice to be better, but when you give up the ball, and you just can't give it up that many times to any type of good team. It's one thing I did like, well, they did give up, I'm trying to see here, I think they gave up a decent amount of sacks, but you could tell, watching this game, we say it all the time, like, Craig Bull wants to bring the tough guy attitude to Wyoming from North Dakota State, and he's doing it. Their team...
Six sacks.
Yeah, but that's tough. That's tough to give up six sacks. They showed at times, when they weren't giving up sacks, they were... Protection wasn't terrible at times, but... They just got it. It's a no-win situation. They got $1 million, or give or take, to play this game. They knew they weren't going to win. I sort of like to have been, because in the second half, Michigan State's sprinkling the backups, put in different players here and there to get more playing time. I just wish it would have been maybe 28-14, 24-14 and a half instead of 42-14.
Yeah, that was kind of a tough break.
They just got blown out, and we'll see what Wyoming can do because. Like you said, the big plays were there, which is good. To get big plays against a good team like this, because that big touchdown run in the first quarter was against the starters. It wasn't against the backups. So that's always nice to see. I just wonder, Wyoming, they're still 3-2. They're starting conference play. They got Hawaii in a couple weeks, San Jose State. I don't know. Do you feel confident in the going bowling for the Cowboys still?
You know, they were the one team going into the season that I had no idea what to think about them.
That's a good reason with the new coach and everything, losing two quarterbacks.
But I like the defense, and I think the defense is going to be able to keep them in a lot of Mountain West games. You know, because there's nobody in the conference that's on the level of an Oregon or a Michigan State. So I think when we go back and look at games, like if we look at the Air Force game that they played a couple weeks ago. I think that can give us some insight as to what this team is going to look like within conference play. They're not going to blow anybody away, but they're going to be in just about every game they're in.
These guys score some points. Yeah, the Air Force game is great. They hold them to under 3 yards a carry, which is... Air Force usually can trip and get 3 yards a carry against the best defense in the country. And they did that. They
score touchdowns at some point, though, because they're last in the conference right now.
Yeah, they are. They're still, I assume this is updated, but 121st in the nation in points for. And aren't there 128 teams, I believe?
I think all that matters is that they're 12 out of 12 in conference.
That too, yeah. If you're at the bottom of scoring points, yeah, you got to score points at some point. And the only offense that scares them, I guess, would be New Mexico. And there's a couple. Boise State with J.H.I. at least.
I like the linebackers on that team.
Yeah, they're doing good because me and Chris, our big thing preseason was you can't give up the huge chunky yards of which they were used to the year before. Well, they did against Michigan State, Jeremy Langford 137 yards, Nick Hill 71. That's fine to expect, but they've been limiting those compared to the year before. I think they're near the bottom of the league last year in yards per play on defense, and that can happen, but. It's Michigan State. The only thing I would have wanted to see better, a better first half. That's it.
Yeah. See, here's an interesting thing about Wyoming so far. You know, through five, they played five games so far, and they're second in the conference in passing yards allowed per game. They've only allowed 206 yards per game, right? Mm-hmm. They have zero interceptions so far, and they're the only team in the conference without an interception.
It's true.
It's a little bizarre.
That is. Part of it could be, too, when they're getting beat pretty bad, Oregon. And, well, here's the thing. Play Air Force. Well, actually, Air Force threw a lot in that game. So it may not be what you normally would say. But when they play Oregon and Michigan State, they're big, they're going to run the ball. So it's a little misleading, but still, no interceptions. Everybody has one. Like, even Fresno State, who hasn't been playing well, has one interception.
Yeah, even so, I mean, they're still, if you take total defense into account, they're still middle of the pack, which, when you consider the teams they've played so far, has actually got to be considered a win.
Yeah. It does. And then even looking at, yeah, like, adjusting, yeah, the middle of the pack, QB rating adjustments, like yards per attempt and everything.
Uh-huh.
They're good in yards per attempt, but I don't know, that's a good point as well. They're not. You need to enter. You got to have a playmaker. If they have Blair Burns, he's a pretty good defensive back. Last time I checked, he knows what he's doing back there. We'll see. There'll be more chances when teams are in closer games and teams will throw the ball. But still, you'd like to have. Let's look at that nationally. I know we're kind of just jammering about this, but I want to check out this really quick nationally for total passing defense. Do you know how many teams off the top of your head do you think have no interceptions on defense?
Well, if I had to guess, I'd say maybe a half dozen.
Oh, you are wrong. There are two.
There's only two, really?
Buffalo and Wyoming.
Oh, well.
There are, let's see, one, two, another 10 with one, but two teams that had interception. That's it. So that's it's not good.
So, I mean, they've been able to stay in a lot of these games without getting big plays on defense. They've had to be, like, really stout. And
either,
kind of,
yeah, just stops or something. Which they have break. It.
That's interesting.
All right, let's move on to the next game. The game of the week, Colorado State, Boston College. Did you get a chance to check out some of this game?
I saw most of the second half of this game, and I was very impressed with what I saw from Garrett Grayson.
Except for the guy in our comment, Bob and Boulder, man, he does not like Garrett Grayson.
Well, I think he might have been watching the first half.
I get that. But like, I had to go do some stuff Saturday morning, so I had the game on the DVR, so I caught up. I'm checking the comments on my phone. I'm like, I don't want to know the score because it's, even though I still watch all things, like, I want to try to keep that away, which is kind of dumb, but look in the comments. Okay. He's like, Grayson's terrible. He's crushing the game. Boston College is going to run away with this. I'm like, oh, Jesus, probably. It's like the game started at 10:30 Mountain Time, so I'm like, and this is like not even an hour into the game. I'm like, what is it, 21-0 already? I come back 14-14. Dude, what were you talking about? 14-0. I'm like, okay, but he made it seem like it was just blow out of proportions, that there's no way they're going to come back and win. And I'm like, oh, it wasn't that bad. I get it. They didn't score until the second quarter. I'm like, watching the first quarter, I'm like, what are you seeing here? 0-0. There's nothing.
Well, you know, it's funny, because if you look at Grayson's overall stats, he is much better in the second half than he is in the first half. And he's much better on second and third down than he is on first down.
That is interesting. Second half in this case, they were down, but it wasn't a big deficit to need to come back. And you can't really account the Colorado game for that because they ran in the second half to catch them up. That is interesting. I get over the Boise State game. He did pretty well in the second half. But this game, the funny thing about this game a little bit, is going like when we did our Q&A with the guys from BC Interruption, because I was expecting, after watching most of that USC game and that BC beat them, and what the offense wants to do, it made it seem like they're running the triple option of some sort, which they kind of are. Mm-hmm. But then you see, so what happens if Tyler Murphy has to throw? And he was, I'm trying to pull up exactly what he said. Basically, he's like, that's the worst thing in the world we want to happen, to throw the ball. And yet he throws 12 of 18 reasonably for 169. I'm like, that, I just thought that was odd. He's like, please, he basically was like, please don't throw. Please don't throw. Just let's run the ball as much as we can with him and Joe Hillman. So that was, I was like kind of shocked by that. I'm trying to see exactly what he said here. He's like, yeah, good Lord, don't make me think of that. BC's passing game is predicated on the run, so if we stop the run, BC is screwed.
Well, they didn't end up getting outgained by much.
No, I just kind of what I saw before about Murphy's stats, I'm like, he's just going to run the whole time, because for USC, just 13 attempts, I guess that's about what he throws. I was just kind of surprised at his answer than seeing how much they did throw. I don't know what to make of the league. Colorado State comes back. It's a big win. Boston College has that huge, well, they have the turnover that really cost them late in the game, where Boston College was, I believe it was the fourth quarter where they turned it over when they're driving down the field, and Colorado State ended up scoring. I'm trying to find that here.
Yeah, that was...
or was that a field goal I think they kicked to go
that
up?
Was, it was 21-17 Boston College, and Murphy got intercepted by Bernard Blake.
That's right. That's right. There it is, Arthur. Yeah, Blake. They didn't score, but it didn't really matter because that ended the game. Because, yeah, BC, that was the part of the play of the game. You're almost in near the, you're in the red zone. I don't recall seeing that pick or how bad a throw it was. I may have tuned out or something else in the game. Something else going on, but... Pick off Murphy. They don't score, but it was a risky play. That fourth and two, and the next drive to go for it when you're only up four. You think you do a pooch punt, perhaps, but they got it. And victory was theirs with that Charles Lovett touchdown reception.
Yeah, and I mean, when you look back, you know, on third down, I think it was the pass got dropped by Rashard Higgins, right?
Yeah.
But that was a money throw. Like, if you go back and look at that replay, you know, he threw it between, like, two or three guys to Higgins in the back of the end zone. He just couldn't come down with it. And then it was an even better catch by Lovett on fourth down to come down with it in the corner.
No kidding. There's a picture I found online, so I put it up real quick. That was – I did see that play. I must have – I don't know where I missed on that pick earlier to watch, but fourth and ten, back of the end zone – excellent catch, a stretch out to get the ball to kind of lean into that back corner. The one thing about Grayson, that was, and then the defense comes up and they win the game because they don't get down far enough, even because penalties for BC, the false start and the sportsmanlike conduct pushed him back, which is a pretty bad penalty you get when you're nearing the red zone. Oh no, they were on the other end of the field. I apologize, I'm reading this backwards. I need to stop looking at ESPN's play-by-play. I actually go to CBS or the game trackers on CBS. They look much nicer. But it's a different window, so I'm done complaining. But that's what I hate. You know what I mean? Like, if you have the CBS, it's its own little window. But I need my I need my tabs here, and my tabs take me to ESPN so I can have this and the schedule up or something. But regardless, I think one thing about this game that surprised me, there was no Joe Hansley in this game either. And I think that's what the commenter Bob was complaining about. He didn't say it, but Grayson, I saw what he was referring to. He's a lot of one look and not throwing, looking anywhere else down the field. He was looking at his number one target, and that was in a forcing it in there.
Well, give Rashard Higgins credit for stepping up, though.
Oh, yeah.
You know, despite, you know, he wasn't able to hang on to that last pass, but he still led the team in receptions and yards, and he almost, you know, he almost topped the century mark, I think, for like the third week in a row.
Yeah, he had 98 yards and almost took 9 catches. He did good.
It's pretty clear that he's the number one guy. You know, Hansley's good, but I think Higgins is probably the best guy that they have out.
Sure, it's pretty close. They're right. They're neck and neck. I think because Hansley, he still does some return game stuff, so that's probably what they want him as well. Because if you look at right now, Higgins. Well, geez, I thought Hansley had more receptions. This is just 10. What was mine looking at? Jeez. Oh, I guess he had 0 versus Colorado, so that doesn't help.
Mm-hmm.
He it's just another weapon they need. And with this team, any weapon they can have, because they get blown out by Boise State, but they beat these other teams, they beat BC. So that's why I was thinking, if they can't hang close to Boise State, BC just beat USC a couple weeks ago. They can run the ball. Boise can run the ball, did that. So I was kind of thinking, any player they lose would definitely hurt them quite a bit. But he needs, and then, geez, how did I skip over this on my end? D-Hart, 117 yards.
Yeah, I mean, he helped them out.
What is up,
BC? Because they averaged almost 7 yards a carry.
Yeah, and Hart had, yeah, he had a 4, even if you take away the 43-yarder, that would be 9 for about, 70, just about? That's still pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you can see that the Eagles, you know, they, what did they get, 239 yards, yeah. And that doesn't seem great, but when you consider that they went over 400 against USC, in Maine, I think it was.
Yeah, even though it's Maine, still. That's a lot of other yards.
That's a big feather in the cap for them.
Yeah, because look what, if you go back and look what Jay Ajayi did, he pretty much, they threw a lot in that game, but Jay Ajayi ran pretty well against when CSU just couldn't hang with Boise State.
Yeah.
Because in that game, Ajayi had 219 yards, and Hedrick had 80. And I don't know. A lot of people are saying BC can win that whatever division they're in the ACC. I think it's the Coastal. They can win that. And so I don't know what to make. Like, have you filled out your ballot yet this week?
For the underdogs poll?
No, our league ballot.
Yeah, I did.
Who did you put number one?
I think I put Colorado State number one.
Yeah, I don't know what to make because I need to see who I put. I know it's not Boise State anymore. We'll get to that game later. Oh, it was just ugly. I don't know who, because this is the, out of being part of the league, either when I was, like, when Utah and BYU, TCU, anybody in the league, there's always been one or two teams that you know that are dominant, that are that good.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know who that is.
Well, that's because there is no team like that this year. This is more wide open than it's been in years.
Because I hate the people, like, there's this, we know the guy, the San Diego State James guy. I'm like, it's like, you guys just love Boise State. I'm like, what are you talking about? We're like, hey, see that San Diego State section? Go read that. There's a lot of stuff there. And Boise State keeps winning. And he's like, and he just thinks we're in love with that team. Like, well, they're the most popular team. They are winning. They beat the team we thought could challenge them quite easily in Colorado State. So it's like, there's no reason to not think. And plus, out of 15 people in our poll, whatever, four or five Aztec guys, it was unanimous last week for Boise State.
Huh.
So he just needs to relax in saying that. But look at it now. A sneak peek for everybody. It's probably going to be Nevada number one.
Really?
Yeah.
And
interesting. There's still a few people putting Boise number two.
I think I might have been one of those people.
I would tell people, I put Boise sixth in my poll. I dropped them all the way to six. That's extreme, but...
Then Chris is going to have some words with you.
Yeah, we'll see. He's at the Greek Festival. He probably didn't watch the game, so... Hopefully he... Hey, I know we get CBS Sports now, where he used to live. Now it's not an options package. Let's just get to that game now. That's the next game. Or actually, really quick, since we're on the polls, who would you say at this point... You put... Well, I guess you gave me the answer by saying Colorado State. And this... Do you think they're going to be the... With Boise losing, now there's not going to be an undefeated mountain team? That it's... Going to be the Rams taking the thing, perhaps?
No, because you know what? My prediction before the preseason, I'm going to stick with it because I'm still a believer in Utah State.
I want to be. It's hard.
Well, I want to be too. That's why I am. So, I mean, I still believe in Utah State. I still think that they have a chance to win the conference if they can get their act together.
But here's the thing. So, Utah State goes to Colorado State and Boise State.
So I'm going to go down with that shit.
Okay. That's perfectly fine. Let's go to the next game. And the poll will be interesting. Once we go on, there's just no team because there's always been, like, at least a couple. I guess it's CSU, maybe Nevada, perhaps? Maybe?
Could be. I'm still in kind of a wait-and-see mode with the Wolfpack.
I am, but there's no one else to play to see who they're going to be. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Arizona, had chances to win early on, but that didn't work out. Let's move on. Boise State Air Force. This is the worst loss since, like, I agree. I forget who said it. It may have been the guy from Bronco, Nate from Bronco Nation News. This is the worst first half since when Boise State went down to Georgia with I think it was Jared Zabransky, and they just got shredded by the Bulldogs. and that game, I think it was the year after they had... Who was the guy who was on the cover for NCAA football? Was it Zabransky?
It was Jared Zabransky.
So I think it was his senior year. I don't recall, but it was like one of the first years or so they were like the team. They're showing what they can do and all that stuff. And they just kind of fell apart. This game, okay, here's a couple things about the game. First off, it's close to... For being minus five and have seven turnovers to lose 28-14, not too shabby.
Well, that's because Air Force gave the ball away a couple times, too.
Yeah, they did. But still, if you're plus five, just saying. If you were to just look at the box score and like, oh, wow, they're off by two touchdowns. Do you see the turnovers and penalties? You would think it would have been a much bigger win for Air Force. But is Grant Hedrick really that bad?
Good question. I didn't think that he was, but maybe...
This game, like, here's the thing with Air Force. This is, not only was this the worst, probably half Boise State's played, and probably their worst game since that Georgia game, because being, not that they're out-coached, out-played, whatever, just the drastic events that happened with the turnovers, not being able to score points, not able to get anything done, any sustainable drives, really. They moved. They had big plays here and there, but they just couldn't capitalize. Ajayi gets 63 yards. This Air Force, this is possibly the best Air Force defensive game, probably since Tim Drewder was their defensive coordinator. They're never good at defense. Air Force always struggles to stop teams.
Well, you might be right.
And this could be their best defensive performance almost ever. 7 turnovers.
Well, here's the question I'll ask you. I want to see if you can come up with an answer, because I think this might be where Boise's biggest problem lies, is, you know, who are the playmakers on defense? Because I'm looking at the halftime stats for this game, and, you know, you see Air Force doing their thing, 32 rushes in the first half for 152 yards. That's like 5 yards carry. So, you know, they're not, and they, you know, 11 first downs, 17 points, you know. Where are the playmakers on this defense?
Well, DeMarcus Lawrence ain't walking through to play snap and to play any down freeze with the Cowboys. It was supposed to be, I'm trying to pull up some names here. I guess Bo Martin could be that guy. He does have 7 tackles for loss on the year. And they got Blake Renaud, who's doing pretty well getting guys behind the line of scrimmage. But like in this game, let's see if they have the stats set up for this game already. Martin had a sack for loss. It's those two guys in the line, but here he had no sacks last night against Air Force. I don't know, because part of it, people will say, like, throughout the broadcast, like, oh, Air Force, Boise's down. Like, I don't know why Jeremy Iona didn't play again for the second straight game. They're down 3 of their 4 starters at defensive back. One of the backups went down, which is a big deal, but Air Force only threw 11 times. It wasn't like Troy Calhoun was taking advantage of Boise being hurt in the secondary.
Yeah.
So that excuse, if I hear that from any Boise State saying, I'm like, no. If that was the case, they would have been throwing like as much as they did against Wyoming. They have playmakers, but here's the thing. It's a short field type of stuff. Air Force, 5 yards of carry for Air Force is good, but it's nothing spectacular. Holding them to 4.8 yards per carry, not too bad. If you think about what they normally do. It's not good, but Air Force sometimes can get 6 yards of carry on teams.
Okay, but yeah, but see, here's the thing, though. You know, they got the, you know, Air Force picked off Boise State 5 times, right?
Mm-hmm.
They got a field goal out of those 5. You know, the touchdowns came off of a couple of fumbles. There was a fumble.
In the red zone, like inside the 10.
Turnover on downs, you know, off of a punt, 78-yard drive, you know, interception that led to a field goal. Another turnover on downs led to another long touchdown.
And the 2 field goals, a 21 and 25 yarder. So they're right inside the 10 on 2 of those.
So, you know, it's not so much about taking advantage of the short field as much as just not being able to stop them on these long drives.
Because the Boise's defense didn't play that bad.
Are we sure about that? Because these drives the Air Force was putting together...
At times, I would say.
Look at the time of possession on these. 10 plays, 70 yards, 4.5 minutes. 10 plays, 78 yards, a minute 48. 5 plays, 81 yards, a minute 29. Are we sure that the defense played that well?
Well, it wasn't... I definitely get your point on there. But if you look at the total drives... I'm trying to play both sides here a little bit. I get your point, but I thought they did show up at some times, but there wasn't. They only had 2 drives over, 2 plays that were 10 plays. There were plenty. Like if you look at Air Force offense, they had 12 drives that were 4 or less plays.
Yeah, I guess I see your point.
And that's out of what 17. Out of, let's see, yeah, like out of 16 drives. So there's both sides of this. Air Force had their extended drives, which they'll get. They did just enough damage to go and get points. But I think part of it's the Boise offense. They couldn't get going. You get stopped 7 times. You get involved that many times. You lose momentum. J.J. is known to fumble, so it's not like that's this huge revelation that he's fumbling the ball both times. He doesn't hold the ball tight enough. Like, they made a good point in the broadcast. He will fight and fight for those yards, and once he's going down, and by the time he goes down, it takes 6 guys, there's going to be one guy poking and trying to get that ball out. And he doesn't secure it with both hands. He's just trying, he's a tough guy, let me get as many yards as I can. I'll go for that one extra yard and do it. But they could. This game probably could have been quite different had he not fumbled on that 5 yard line on the what yard line was at the three at the where was that? Where did he fumble the first time? No, that was in Air Force. Oh no, they're both deep yards. Never mind. I thought I caught this game late to start off. I thought he fumbled in his own red zone, not Air Force.
So are you saying that it's basically just a matter of Boise figuring out how not to shoot themselves in the foot?
Some of that it's. I don't want
to. Because I think you might be onto something. Because you know they have the most. They have the most takeaways in the Mountain West, but they also have the most giveaways in the Mountain West. So the minus one that they're at for the season is a little bit deceptive.
It is. There obviously we have 7 turnovers or something wrong there. It's not just Air Force is playing that great, which they were. Like I said, this was their best defensive effort. They were harassing Hedrick all night. They were getting after him, hitting people hard. Like I said, they haven't had a good defense since Tim Drew was there, and that's been like at least five or so years ago. He's been with Air Force, Texas A&M, now everybody knows him as the Fresno State head coach.
Yeah.
And they have 80 yards on penalties. That doesn't help. I don't know who they're going to go to because they finally yanked Hedrick to put in Ryan Finley, who in less than a half had almost as many completions as Hedrick did, 12 to 18. Nearly as many yards, 161 to 209. He did lead them 2 touchdowns. He also had an interception, which is pretty bad. He looked better, but because after the game, I know it's right when the game's over, you're going to say it's the head coach, Chris Peterson, excuse me, Brian Harsin. He's like, well, we'll look at the situation. He's not going to say, I'm going with Finley right now, I got to look at the tape. But what do you think? Are they going to go with the redshirt freshman Finley and say, Hedrick, you're pretty much done?
I think they'll give Hedrick another shot, but I wouldn't be surprised if they're keeping him on a real tight leash.
2 games, 8 interceptions, Ole Miss and Air Force. And some of those picks, like, there could have been a 5th pick. There was one play that was reviewed. Defensive back for Air Force just, he broke on one of those out routes and just dove and caught it. Its nose barely hit the bottom of the field.
Because, I mean, okay, let me ask you this then, because, you know, just looking at the next 3 weeks for Boise, they're at Nevada and then home for Fresno State and BYU.
Those are some tough games, though. Let's try to figure something out.
We're talking about at the beginning of the season when you changed your prediction about Fresno State saying they might go 6-6. How do you think Boise State's going to do in these next 3 weeks?
Their next game, is it next week, or do they have an off week? I'm trying to pull up the schedule here.
It's next Saturday in Reno against the Wolfpack.
Oh, that's right. I was on the Boise pregame show chat about that. Because we're kind of both assuming, oh, it's going to be a win. It'll be the Mountain West Showdown. Now it's something completely different.
Like, are we sure Boise's not going to go 6-6 at this point?
I think it's not at this point, no. Because if you look at the other games, I get the Ole Miss game. They were back and forth. They picked off Bo Wallace as many times Hedrick was picked off. They dominated Louisiana Lafayette, and they beat UConn reasonably well. And they pretty much beat Colorado State for the first half. Second half, the Rams came back to make it respectable. I don't think it's that bad because I still think J.J. is the best player in the Mountain West. If they give him the ball enough, he's the best player. Is that too far-fetching to stay still? To still stay at this point?
No, I don't think so.
So I think if you have the best player, things are going to happen for you. And when you have a new quarterback?
He's second leading rusher in the conference, isn't he? Or maybe, no, he's the leading rusher in the conference.
I'm not sure, but if you have a new quarterback, what is normally you like to do with a new quarterback? You extend the running game a little bit. So, Jacoby Owens is still actually Ajayi's third.
He's third in yards per game, but he's first in total yardage.
That is interesting because he's also he's played one more game. That's why. Yeah, he's third in average yards per game, but he's first overall. But played one more game than Owens and Pumphrey.
He's getting a lot of responsibility because he's the best player in this offense.
Because he can also catch the ball too. That's where they can't get one big catch.
Uh-huh.
I don't think they'll go 6-6. I still think the Nevada game's still a big game because it's besides it being Nevada. I think this is more of an aberration for Boise State a little bit. I don't want to just say that they just screwed up, like you said, shot themselves in the foot, which you do with 7 turnovers. I'm thinking they're not this bad. Even though some of the picks were really bad.
Like I said, they just need to figure out how to take care of the football. Otherwise, they're going to, there's any number of teams in this conference that'll punch you in the mouth if you're not careful.
I still think there's 6 wins on the schedule. Let's just kind of say they've fallen off. They're taking a step back, which I don't think being the case. But worst case, let's just say they are almost as bad as Air Force as we say they are, whether it's with Finley or Hedrick. If that's the case, they're probably losing to Nevada. Losing to Nevada, losing to BYU. Those are probably the 2 losses I'd say for sure if they're playing this bad. Fresno's at home, and that toss up if both teams, no teams are, both, neither of those are really great at the moment. Fresno's improving, Boise's kind of dropping. New Mexico, I'd give New Mexico the win too, or a win, and Wyoming a win right there. They'd probably lose to San Diego State. You might be right. It could be, if they're this bad or close to it, they might struggle to get to 6 wins, but I still see them probably winning 9 games.
I just got to take care of the football.
It's too hard to say. I would want to give 1 more week just before I'd say, like, are they going to go 6-6? I still think they have enough talent.
They're plus 5, I think, in their wins and minus 6 in their losses. So
yeah, when you have 8 interceptions in Ole Miss and Air Force loss, that's all right there. And only one other pick, I think, was in the Colorado State game, I believe. I moved off that page, but do you think the 6-6, like they're struggling to make a bowl game? Is that your assumption right now?
I think they're still probably among the 2 or 3 most talented teams in this conference, so I'd be shocked if they finish with any less than 8 wins.
Yeah, okay. Because, yeah, I think New Mexico, they'll win. Wyoming, that's 2 right there. They'll probably beat Nevada and or Fresno. So we'll see. I wish they were better versus the BYU because I'd like to see what that could happen, but who knows. All right, so move on to the next game. We already discussed that. Quarterback might be Ryan Finley going forward. So,
before we move on, though.
What do you got?
Shout out to Weston Steelhammer.
Oh, that's the guy who's looking up. Best name.
Best name in conference. A sack and an interception on back-to-back plays.
And 3 interceptions on the game.
There you go.
He's going to be player of the week, defensive player of the week. He could be national defensive player of the week. Not only does he have the name, like we said, but yeah, 3 interceptions, I believe, if that was the case, if I'm correct on that.
Yeah, he's tied a school record, tied a conference record with it.
So yeah, that's what I think. I was actually pulling up to look up that guy's name under the game recap we had. But yeah, that's a game. 3 picks, a sack. And I don't what, okay, let's go to Air Force because we're discussing what's wrong with Boise State or what they're doing. What does this mean for Air Force? Is their defense really this good?
Probably not.
Probably not as well. They give up 38 points to Georgia State, so it's like,
yeah, I think they were opportunistic on tonight because Boise was giving the ball away, so they were going to take it from them.
There are some good plays too defensively. Like David had said, Anthony Wright was there, a really good secondary when he was like a second or third team All American a couple years ago.
But I mean, I'll give them credit because they've looked a lot better than I expected.
They were fast too. They were faster, I thought, as well. They were flying everywhere in defense.
Because they got their quarterback situation taken care of.
No injuries. That's a plus.
That was a mess last year. And they have Jacoby Owens, who, give him credit, had another 100 yards on the game. And, between the two of those guys, they've really turned this program around.
Yeah, because they somewhat struggled a little bit in finding the running back, kind of. A little bit the past year or two. But do you think they're a bowl eligible team then, perhaps, this year?
I'm starting to believe, yeah. I think they can get to 6 wins, just kind of looking at the schedule.
Yeah, because Navy's always tough. I think they could beat New Mexico, Army, UNLV. I think 6-6 is probably where they're going to finish at, I think.
I think it's important that they get their toughest games at home.
They do. Navy. And, well,
Navy, Nevada, and Colorado State are the 3 toughest games left on their schedule, and they're all in Colorado Springs.
The Utah State's tougher?
Oh, yeah, okay, I take that back.
Yeah, well, I think they could. I would, at this point, if they could play close to that defensive effort, I think 6 is a real possibility.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
All right, let's slide over to the San Diego State UNLV game where I was prematurely calling for the upset on Facebook. Hey, cheap page views is fine. 10-7 is upset in the making?
Hey, yeah. I mean, you're kind of encroaching on my territory. I was the one who said UNLV was going to win 8 games this year.
Yeah, you're impossible now. No, they could go 8-4. They play 13 games. They could technically go 9-4.
I was making sure people were paying attention to our podcast when I said that.
I don't know. Not many. Oh, it is. Hey, you know what's lovely? I just realized just pulling up the UNLV schedule. They play at San Jose State next week on the lovely ESPN News, where 5 people will watch the game.
Oh, well, I'll try and flip over to that.
I know where the channel is, but nobody expects to go to that channel to watch games.
Oh, wait, no. Did you say it was next Friday?
Oh, no, next Saturday, October 4th.
Oh, okay.
I just mean it's on ESPN News. It's like nobody checks for games on that channel, even though they've... I think this is the first year they've really done it. Last year was kind of an overflow in a game here or there. I think there's a game every week on there. Because wasn't the San Diego State or UNC game on the news?
Yeah, I believe you're right.
And I think a couple American games. But as for this game, Blake Decker looked better for UNLV, right?
More or less, yeah.
Yardage-wise?
Yeah, but he wasn't particularly accurate.
Oh, no, not even close. 18 to 30. Sorry, positive. I apologize. Some of his throws were errant. And you keep positive, folks.
But the thing is, you know, UNLV was another team that shot itself in the foot with turnovers. You know, the big play of the game was when they were down, I think, 14 to 10, and they were driving down the field in the first half, and Decker threw an interception. I think it was to, forget the guy's name off the top of my head.
Yeah, but anytime you have a pick, he threw a... Trying to pull up here with my Billy Vaughn.
They were never that close again. They were down 14-10. He throws the interception. San Diego State scores 14 more points before halftime, and the Rebels never threatened.
Yeah, San Diego, they didn't score in the drive. It's unfortunate because that was in the red zone, right at the 17-yard line of San Diego State. It's a touchdown or interception in the end zone for a touchback, I should say. Yeah, Aztecs don't score, but UNLV does nothing. They had to punt at their own 22. And then the next drive, Aztecs score in quick fashion after a pretty good kickoff or punt return to the almost midfield.
Yeah.
Or past midfield, excuse me. They get to midfield, the big run, I should say, gets them to the red zone, and it's over from there. 21-10. UNLV has no comeback ability. I'm sorry, folks.
Not this anyway, no.
Was there any update on, because there was not a, Shaquille Murray Lawrence did not play again in this game. Did he do something to piss off Bobby Hawks again?
I haven't heard anything about him.
Because that's why he missed the first couple games. I'm like, why is he not playing? Because I'm reading the, like, the Las Vegas papers and stuff. I'm like, I saw one little line after their first game saying Shaquille Murray Lawrence is still having issues with Coach Hauk.
Well, I mean, they could probably use him, considering they average less than 3 yards a game, or 3 yards per carry, rather.
Yeah, I don't know what the deal is. George Nafahu only had 6 carries. I thought he was the backup. There's nothing positive in the running game at all.
There was something. I'm random Google search for him real quick, but apparently he was injured heading into the game, so maybe he just wasn't healthy enough to play.
I wish they would write about that stuff and let me know about it. Where'd you find that out? What publication?
It was the Las Vegas Review-Journal with our guy Mark Anderson.
No wonder I'm on the Las Vegas side. Sorry, guys.
Because it mentioned Penny Vea with a neck injury, Horsey with a back injury, Murray Lawrence with a leg injury, and Marcus Sullivan with a leg injury.
I know Sullivan was banged up a little bit, but he played him reasonably well, 3 for 76. Yeah, no running game. What do you think the Aztecs? Pumphrey's challenging Ajayi for the best player because he has 9 touchdowns. Yeah, 4 in this game, but still, that's a pretty big game. 4 touchdowns and what, 7.5 yards a carry. Are the Aztecs, because they lost to UNC, which they should have won, they were outplayed by Oregon State. Are they a team? Because we'll just bypass this game. UNLV, if you don't have a running game, you're losing your best defensive player in Pan, the secondary. You're gonna be okay. You're not gonna do well. So, Aztecs, you might. Do they play in Mexico this year? I want to find out.
Do the Aztecs play in Mexico?
No, I say in UNLV. They do play them November 1st. That could be battle for the bottom. Maybe
it might be. Yeah,
maybe we'll see. We had hopes for UNLV a little bit. Were we too high? Do you think? I know it's easy to say yes now, Is Decker's not a quarterback?
I thought that the quarterback situation wouldn't hold back. And I think that was where I went wrong.
Do you think Decker will be the guy the rest of the way?
I don't think Sherry is the answer, no. So
I died with Blake Decker. Oh, man, there. I don't know, I get people saying, that's a stupid bowl ban APR. I'm like, well, that was overturned. You lost one offensive lineman and a back. Well, I guess losing a, there's a guy that lost to Arizona, a backup running back. I probably could use him, but. That's actually good. I saw some of this game online. They did look. Kaler will be. I'm wondering if Kaler's inefficiency to throw any deep passing was because of that hand injury. That's because he's out. Did they say how long he's out? Because I read his, the freshman's coming. Did it say how long he's going to be out with that shoulder injury?
Off the top of my head, I'm not sure, but if, I would assume maybe a week or two.
Because they play Friday night. That's the game. They play Fresno State Friday night. And this is what we wanted to get back to more because UNLV. Maybe 3 wins. It's back to the good old UNLV. Like I said, I need to go back to say I'm not going to trust UNLV until they do it for 2 years in a row.
And so yeah.
I think I'm back to that. So, yeah, the injury was it a right shoulder injury, I believe? Oh, and it's true freshman, excuse me, Nick Bowden. I thought it was a redshirt freshman. So that even goes to our point that, yeah, true freshman, you're going to play midway through the season and be better than your starter, a senior starter? No.
No.
And let's make the playbook bigger. No, not going to happen. It might be different. The upside his needs, but not better. Bigger.
See, the upside is that, you know, Quinn Kaler's, you know, he's good, but he's not great.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's the game manager kind of quarterback that can easily lead a team to 8 or 9 wins. So, you know, San Diego State's the kind of team that really strives to be balanced. And with a guy like Pumphrey behind them in the backfield, I don't think they really need to ask him to do too much.
He is more mobile. Do you expect them to maybe do some more rollouts or bootlegs with him?
They might, yeah.
Move the pocket at least. And they still had to have Rockin' for probably almost another month, I believe, because that injury was 6 to 8 weeks to collarbone. Something like that.
I'm checking on Kaler, and they're just saying they're updating periodically to see what his availability is going to be like, but they don't know for sure beyond next week.
Okay, plus short week, there's probably no point in doing that. Yeah, shoulder, he's right, it's his throwing shoulder, so it doesn't help. And yeah. This is the third string.
Let's not forget, too, that they're still missing two of their linebackers, too.
Yeah. And then one of them had appendicitis.
Yeah, and having been there, I can tell you that appendicitis sucks.
I don't know if it was expected appendicitis.
It said he had it removed midday Saturday.
Yeah, so Saturday afternoon. Yeah.
Because they were considering they were playing Saturday. I don't think he was expecting it.
Possibly. I don't know. Oh, yeah. Here it is right here. Yeah, Long found out 4 a.m. Saturday morning. That's good. My brother had the same thing. Assuming this is emergency appendicitis where you can actually die if you don't get that taken care of in time, if it bursts.
Yeah, that sounds familiar. The same thing happened to me during the middle of a Lord of the Rings marathon.
What's this painted guy? Oh,
so, yeah, I mean, I had mine out, I think, about 2 in the morning. So,
jeez.
Derek, I feel your pain.
Yeah, that's my brother, same thing. He's hospital for, like, a week. And he missed it, like, during finals of his last year to graduate from Utah State. And he was not happy about that. But after that, so, Aztecs, are they... I know it's easy to get things right versus UNLV, but, they're going to Bowden. True freshman playing at Fresno. Is this game at Fresno?
Yes, it is.
So, are you going to be in attendance Friday night?
I might. Well, no. Actually, you know what? I'm not because Friday is my wife's birthday.
She doesn't want to go to a football game for her birthday?
No, she wants to go see the new, that movie Gone Girl.
Okay. All right. I understand. I got to take care of that stuff. I get the same thing going on.
The line, at least for now, I'm looking at ESPN. The line right now is San Diego State -2.
Interesting. What's your first thoughts in this game? It was Fresno State with one quarterback. And then Aztecs going with the true freshman.
I think the winner of this game is going to win the division.
Okay, that's interesting too. Well, you're discounting Nevada?
I'm going to have to wait and see with Nevada. But, you know, I will say this, you know, because they host Boise this Saturday.
We'll know more after this game.
We're going to know a lot more about the Wolfpack.
Okay, that's a good point. So your early indication, winner of next week between these two teams wins the division.
Yes.
Okay. It's a possibility. If Fresno has turned things around and not playing as tough opponents.
Yeah, what I'll say about this game, you know, and I'll leave the rest to you and Chris for later in the week, but, you know, Fresno's got the advantage as far as health.
What about their defense? Do you think their defense? Because I know they got Daron Smith still back there. There nobody's throwing to him. What would you expect the defensive coordinator to dial up with a true freshman quarterback on the road for his first ever start, first ever game as well?
Well, my first inclination is to say that it's going to look a lot similar to what they did against Southern Utah. They're gonna bring the house. They're gonna come at all directions. And you know that Donovan Lewis and Ajiro and Araide are going to be licking their chops to try and get at this guy.
Definitely. Also, I got some side news here. No, I told you about the guy who says we know nothing about anything about the Aztecs update.
Yeah.
New comment on Facebook. I'll give his full name because it's here on Facebook. Should I do that anyways?
Yeah, sure.
Samuel Edwards McBride. You're bogus, Mountain West, and you know it. Great comeback.
Well, why? Why are we bogus?
His comment before about the this is also by our main Aztec guy, one of the other Matthews, Matthew Main.
Yeah,
you know, he goes, not worried at all. Okay, be confident. Mountain West Talking Heads getting SDSU news all wrong always. It's just fun to make talking about this stuff, but we got an Aztec guy who wrote it. If you actually read the article, you'd notice it's a news update, right? It's not.
Do you think I should tell him thanks for reading?
I do that too a lot. We should both do it.
I'll do it right now.
Sure.
I got it ready to go.
Okay, I'll comment as the page. You want to comment as yourself?
Yeah, I'll do that.
Okay, thanks for reading.
Thanks for reading.
That's what I do all the time. It's like I listen to some radio station here in town, and whenever they complain, it's this morning show that's really good. And not a sports, kind of like a news one. Not the Wacky Zoo, which is terrible radio to listen to in the morning. They always reply back when there's some huge complaint or some asinine thing. They always reply to email. Thanks for listening. it's like, fine, you read, but I always like to say, no, we're not wrong here. Not to say we're ever wrong, but if you actually read the article, you'd realize it's not saying that.
No,
this guy's going to be terrible or great at quarterback. It's just, this is not even opinion. The only thing he says is that he throws the ball better, a deep ball, and is more mobile. That's it for action. Then that's more analysis than it is about any opinion of him being worse or better.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to see somewhere where we were all wrong, you should listen to the preseason preview podcast.
Yeah, bring that. We should replay that. Let's update the feed at December 7th, see what happens.
Be like, in case you missed it.
Yeah. Flashback to the Wayne's World thing. There we go. All right, let's go to the final game. Nevada at San Jose State. The late night game on CBS Sports Network, 21-10 Nevada. I had no idea what to expect in this game because San Jose State was starting Jill Gray at quarterback. And he did reasonably well outside of the two interceptions and the pick six. He, as yardage-wise, completion percentage-wise, not too bad for a start. But as you would say, if you notice the stat sheet here, if you're minus three, you're not going to win.
Yeah, that's true.
Pick six late in the game. It was close, 10-7. San Jose State was winning, heading into the fourth quarter. And then Fajardo turned it up, and then Nigel Hawkins sealed the victory with the 27-yard touchdown.
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing. It's like, Gray wasn't terribly efficient when he was throwing the football. Because, he had, 275 yards on 46 attempts. That's not that great,
6 yards a throw.
And, I mean, they were only 6 of 17 on third downs. Although, give the defense credit for showing.
Yeah, look at Nevada's third down efficiency.
0 for 9. Wow, really? 0 for 9.
That's troubling for this type of offense. When they can throw and pass as well as they should be able to in the pistol.
Yeah, like you said, though, turnovers kill.
Because if you look here, everything, yards per pass, Nevada, Fajardo, I don't know, 64 yards passing? Come on. 3.5 yards an attempt. Here's the thing I was kind of surprised about this game. Sorry, just kind of a loss of words for a moment.
No problem.
San Jose State's rush defense is not good. Even with Travis Rashidi, who's very good, could get a shot in the NFL on that defensive line. I figured, look what Minnesota did last week. They rushed for 380 yards. And even with Nevada's attack, Cody Fajardo only had 64 yards. Yeah, he had two touchdowns on the ground, but him and Don Jackson combined for 170.
Well, you know, to be fair to San Jose State, look what Minnesota did yesterday to Michigan.
I guess Michigan's rush defense was pretty good.
You know, they played Auburn and they played Minnesota, so I have a feeling the numbers are skewed at least a little bit.
Yeah, you know, I knew they were skewed, but I just expect Minnesota's not known to be in that type of running attack.
But, I mean, I would be more concerned because, you know, I think the last time I talked to you, you know, you were talking about Nevada's defense, you know, taking that big step forward, and they gave up 170 yards on the ground. You know, they gave up 4.6 yards carried.
It's not bad.
I guess it's not bad. But
well, if you look nationally, like I had that up earlier, like per yard rushing yards per play given up on defense, 4.5 yards or 4.6 is pretty much. Oh, maybe not. Maybe I'm wrong on that. Never mind. I must have been looking at yards per play. Wow, I just pulled this up. You know, Louisville's giving up 1.95 yards per rush attempt. That's not bad.
That's my mistake.
I must have been looking at offensive yards, like rushing yards on offense per play. So never mind. But 170 yards isn't bad to give up. But look at how many double, at least on the long yard, the long play per player on the carries, multiple over 10. 12, 24, 18, and 14. So they're giving up big chunks to a San Jose State rushing team that's okay. You got Jared Lawson, Tyler Irvin are back there, but I kind of made the point, too. As you thought, I said take a big step forward, but I also mentioned, kind of just to let me defend myself a bit, you bring back a lot of talent, but it was pretty bad talent outside of Brock Hecking and Ian Sayal.
Yeah, I mean, all things considered, I'm not sure how much you can really learn about either team in this game, because it wasn't like it was particularly well played.
No. 0-for-9 at third down tells you a lot.
Yeah, and I mean, both kickers missed a field goal. So, although, granted, you know, Austin Lopez's miss was from over 50 yards.
Yeah, 17 penalties.
17, yeah, that too.
Not a lot of points.
Yeah, I don't know. And you were asking me a minute ago about Nevada being a championship caliber team, and this is the kind of game that makes me, this is the evidence I would point to and be like, I don't know.
It's a good point. I thought San Jose State figured we would know a lot because, like you said, they played a great Auburn team, pretty good Minnesota team, but then they beat North Dakota to open the season. So it's like, all right, you played FCS team, but a power, like Wyoming, they played a couple power teams, some pretty bad teams. And where do they come out? I'm still wondering, how does this, I know the secondary is supposed to be one of the strengths for San Jose State, but Frazard is a senior. He's got to be able to throw better than that.
Yeah.
His longest throw was only 16 yards.
Yeah, I mean, give credit to the defense, though, for
true
lockdown.
Yeah, I'm not just discounting that, but you think with him being around for so many years, they've had the offensive coordinator since Chris Ault was there. He's not like it's a new offensive system. Maybe you're right. Maybe Nevada's not. I don't know. They're 3-1, and you got to give that for something as well. They're getting wins.
Yeah, it's hard to argue with the W's, yeah.
And San Jose State's 1-3. They're only lost, and the one loss they have. Look how good Arizona is, and Washington State's looking pretty good. They almost beat Oregon, had chances at Utah. Oh, Utah game was a debacle watching that last night. That was disappointing. But they beat an undefeated Utah team. So their strength of schedule, who they've played, pretty well. That's what I'm thinking, but again, San Jose State's defense, like, how long, it's probably boring, but I'm wondering how long all those third down possessions were that they missed on.
Are you talking about Nevada's third downs?
Yeah, like, they're 0-for-9. Yeah. There's a couple where it's, okay, 3rd and 15, and this is exciting stuff we're talking about. 3rd and long. I'm sorry, I know this is boring, but I'm trying to check really quick here. Hey, they did get a third down conversion. Why didn't this one count? Does a pass interference not count as a converted first down?
Well, no, it would, because they count first downs as rushing, passing penalty.
Well, right here in the second quarter, maybe this is incorrect, but 3rd and 9, incomplete pass, but there's PI.
I mean, let's put it this way. They had, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 three and outs.
I guess technically it's a no play, so that makes sense. But then I know they had multiple three and outs. They had, 4 in the first 5 drives they had in that game. Like, the first half was ugly. It's only 7-3, 10 total points. I get 3rd and 15, those are hard to be in, but why are you in that situation anyways? You shouldn't be in 3rd and 15, 3rd and long. And every time it looks like they tried to pass when it was 3rd down, except for, like, twice, it looks like. They just... You gotta convert those. If I'm saying they're gonna be the team to be in the West, you gotta get a couple 3rd down conversions. You can't go 0-for in a game.
Well, I mean, like I said, they're gonna get Boise at home this week, so...
What do you think of that then right now?
If they're for real...
And it's at home. It's in Nevada, so that's always a big advantage there.
Well, my first guess is that Boise wins a close one. And, you know, looking at the opening line right now, Boise's favored by 3, which sounds about right to me.
Do you think Boise's going to go with fit the backup?
No, I think they'll go with Hedrick, and I think they'll probably win a close game.
Okay, because you're still thinking Boise's going to, well, Utah State, but they'll be right there. So what do we think about, then what do you think about really quick? We're about an hour here, so we need to get going. What do you think of Spartans? Are they any better than last year? Like, David Fells last year wasn't the best. They didn't go to bowl game at 6-6. Do you think they have a shot doing things? They weren't terrible. They looked, you could argue that they at times looked better than Nevada last night.
Well, I mean, it's been kind of the theme of this show, though, is that, you know, teams that take care of the football win. And with regards to the conference as a whole, you know, the Spartans have given the ball up 11 times in 4 games, and that's not going to win a lot of games. You know, the only team that has a worse turnover margin is UNLV.
And they're pretty bad.
They are pretty bad.
Well, I guess we'll see how these two teams play next week, because they play... Hey, another ESPN news game. That's exciting.
Cue the toilet sound effect.
Yeah, I need to find that and play it, but... What would you put the over-under on total turnovers in that game?
Total turnovers?
Yeah, total.
I put it at 3.
That's it?
3.
For each team or 3 total overall?
3 total.
You're giving some teams some respect there.
but I mean, you got to think about it, though, right?
I'd say 4. That's not much more, I guess.
Here's the other thing about San Jose State is that they haven't really shown any capacity for big plays either. You know, they're averaging only 4.9 yards per play so far, and they're next to last in that category, too. The only team that's worse is Hawaii.
Sure. Yeah, I'm wondering if they might open things up once they know what Joe Gray can do finally. Because he didn't play any worse than Blake Jurek. You get 2 picks, doesn't help, but he threw for a decent amount of yards. Like, so you need the bigger passing plays. He threw 20, he had an 18, 22, and 25 for a deep pass. Not too bad, but needs to be a bit better than that. I think they may open things up against UNLV, especially if they're missing a Vea out there in secondary.
Yeah.
They'll take advantage of that and probably just throw in. They'll probably get the win. Do you, any chance, I know we're almost nearing mid-season, a couple games away from that. Any chance Spartans can get to that 6 number again?
I think it'll be tough.
They got some tough games here, man. They got... Okay, here's real quick. UNLV, at Wyoming, at Navy. Then they got this huge, this terrible stretch. CSU, assuming Fresno is improved, which we should. Yeah, Utah State, San Diego State with a Hawaii game mixed in there.
If they're going to get to 6 wins, they're going to have to win their next 2.
What about Navy?
No, I don't think they're going to beat Navy.
Okay. I'd put them at 3. That'd only put them at 3 wins, though. Who would they get beyond that? Because if they beat UNLV, well, I mean, you're 3-3.
Well, they have to pull an upset or 2 to get to 6 wins at this point.
Yeah, it looks like they may need... Yeah, that'll be interesting. So I don't think I put them at, pegged them at a bowl game. I think probably 5 wins, what we would have said at the beginning of the year, maybe.
Yeah. I mean, because you were talking about Wyoming earlier, not being able to score points. Yeah, I was just perusing the ESPN webpage. San Jose State, 118th overall for points per game.
3 spots better than Wyoming.
Yeah, that'll be a rock fight in a few weeks.
That'll be... And our luck, it'll be that 8:30 kickoff local time with a snowstorm. And with swirling winds of gusting the 65-mile-an-hour range.
So it'll be a rock fight with, like, snowballs.
Yeah. No, oh, jeez, that game could be dreadful to watch. All right, so do you have any lasting thoughts on this week? Anything about Fresno State? Anything I missed or you want to touch on that you really want to tell the audience about, our hundreds of people that listen?
Well,
listen harder. More people listen.
Listen harder. I think we covered a lot of bases, actually.
We covered a lot, so we're... Oh, really quick, who's your... I think you're tallest, but who's your top three right now?
My top two?
Top three overall.
I think... Let's see if I can...
I speak too fast sometimes here.
I think... What did I say? I think I said Colorado State 1, Boise State 2, and let's see if... I cannot remember who I put 3.
You put either Nevada or Wyoming here, looks like.
I think I might have put Nevada. I'm not totally certain.
I somehow put Wyoming number 7. Oh, well, I'll stick with it.
I will say this, though, with regards to the underdogs poll that we're also doing.
Yeah.
I have a feeling I have Colorado State much higher than everybody else.
Oh, let's place a wager. Did you actually turn in your poll? Because I was pretty late on that today.
Yeah, I turned one in earlier, but I didn't have, like, my last week's poll in front of me, so I had to revise it and send it in a little bit after the deadline.
Where did you have Colorado State? Because I think you and me will challenge for the high spot for the Rams.
I moved up because last week I had the Rams at number 6. This week I have them at number 4.
Oh, never mind. I moved them up to 6 from 9.
Oh, wow.
Who do you put number 1? It has to be East Carolina, right?
I put BYU number 1.
Ooh.
It's hard to argue with 4-0.
It is, but he put up 70 points on one team. And a pretty good team.
How do we know that North Carolina is that good?
I guess when he scores 70 points. I'm going off. They beat a pretty good Virginia Tech team and nearly beat South Carolina. So, but I get your point, 4-0. This is getting long, but BYU's been impressive, but they let teams come back late in the game, and I don't like how that happens. That'll bite them against when they play some. Well, who do they play that's better this year? Maybe not. Maybe Boise State comes around, or Utah State does something with Chucky this weekend. So.
Yeah, I mean, I think if you put BYU and East Carolina on the field together, I think it'd be a really fun game.
I definitely would as well. I think EC would do it, but we'll see. All right, so let's wrap it up here. We're done. We achieved, while talking about 6 games, we surpassed the 1-hour mark with ease, it seems like, here, which is pretty amazing. So maybe we need to tighten that up. Hopefully we were positive enough for everybody. What do you think about my positivity? Was I okay this week?
I think you're all right. If you need some assistance, a little pick-me-up before the next podcast, you know, just listen to the Hold Steady. Got to stay positive.
I will do that. I'm trying to be realistic as well. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't want to lie and say New Mexico is great. They're going to win 8 games this year.
And we can't all go to bowl games.
Yeah, that's the point, too. So, all right. So, thanks for hopping on with us. You know, we'll have you on multiple times down the road, especially... Crossing my fingers for you for Fresno State getting to a bowl game again. Maybe winning that West Division. We'll see if they turn around. But again, it's Matthew Kennerly joining us this evening. Jeremy Moss here. And thanks for everyone for listening. Check us out at MWCConnection.com, and we'll check everyone back for next week as I screw up the ending again. I had it, what I was going to say, perfect, because I screwed up last time with Chris Turner. But check out the website, MWCConnection.com. We'll be back for a week 6 preview in a couple days.